hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone.
Saturday evening, and it's always a privilege to come your way. I'm Eben. From now till 10 p.m., I'll be with you. I believe you'll be blessed as we go through this evening's schedule, and lots of things to talk about, a little of the news, the things happening, and we get into the Word of God regarding the times we are in. We've all been seeing what's happening in the news, the Israeli war and the aftermath and all that. We'll talk a bit about it. We'll talk a bit about Ghana issues, you know, elections and all those little stuff. But, you know, it's important Christians understand the times we are in and the knowledge we need to acquire and all that. So we'll be talking a lot about some of these things. So greetings to our listeners outside the country and elsewhere listening online. So let's start with some of the news we have. You know, there's also war in Sudan. I think that one, you know, there are wars. There was that doesn't really bother the Western. You not really hear about it in the news, but it's indeed a troubled issue for the Sudanese issue. I mean, they have two factions, the two groups fighting, and that one too. This week they bombed, or they shelled two churches, you know. And, you know, when it happens this way, then you realize the church begins to suffer the persecution. Already, you know, Sudan is an Islamic country, so it becomes an easy target. Christians are always the easy target when it comes to these things. So Sudan, they are also having their issues with the war. And we have this interesting, you know, the world has just gone off when it comes to common sense. So, Canadian powerlifter, you know, this powerlifting sport, the powerlifting union suspends women for opposing men competing against women. You know, there are some news items, you see it and you ask yourself, so where is common sense in all this? Because ideally, this is nothing to, I mean, even think about. For many years, there hasn't been the issue of men competing in women's sports. Men section or men division, women division, boys, girls. I mean, that has been the world as we've known it, the world of sports. Now come into the 21st century, and now men who feel they won't win medals, but they are not capable of doing it in the men division, some just choose that they want to be women so that they can have an easy pass and win the medals. And it's one of the most irritating things when I see it's in the news. It's like, what type of men are you? I mean, easy go, cheap, just because you just won the medals. But, you know, go if these same so-called women, men, whatever they call themselves, if they are to compete in the men's division, you realize they will not do well. But when they come to the women's division, because naturally, I mean, they have more muscular, you know, physique and all that, then they take an undue advantage and then they are winning the medals. And so this lady complains, and she has rather been suspended for 2 years. This world is just not fair. And then we go to Uganda, where you have Muslim man flees country after setting wife on fire for accepting Jesus Christ. You know, there's a part in Uganda, where there's extreme persecution of Christians. Though Uganda in general is like the Christians are the majority, but there's a section where if someone dares to convert, then I mean it's a problem, and this is one of such instances. And I've been, for those who listen to, I've been talking about news from Uganda, Nigeria, and all these places. Oh, I saw this news and it's like, indeed, we are living in extreme times where you have gay games. They used to call it gay Olympics, gay games. They did it in Hong Kong this year. And, it's amazing how sin is now openly glorified. And there's nothing, no conscience again regarding this is wrong. So the news says that there will be disco and dancing at the closing ceremony of the gay games in Hong Kong on Saturday, that's today, as participants and volunteers celebrate the end of the week-long sporting event that's featured dragon boating, boat racing, and other things. But amid the jubilation is also a sense of relief for organizers. The global event, once known as the Gay Olympics, has attracted controversy ever since its origins in the 1980s in San Francisco in the U.S., when it was dreamt up by U.S. Olympic decathlete who wanted to share the spirit of the games for his community. But this year, the event celebration had the inclusion and diversity, and it faced new challenges being staged for the first time in Hong Kong, a city whose political freedoms and cosmopolitan character have been hammered by the pandemic and China's tightened rule in recent years. Then you have this in China. We had fewer opportunities to celebrate his community. There's a man who was talking. He said, so he decided to participate in the gay game, signing up for the one of the events. And then he says, I don't seem to have participated in any activities this year, so I just wanted to experience the feeling of the rainbow shining. He told the BBC. Goes on to say that we are the first city in Asia to host the gay games. This is something we are proud of. Okay, well done. Many other cities cannot do this. Wow. The things that people can be proud about, very sad. Very, very, very serious world. Okay, so we have the UN. After failing to condemn Hamas terror group, UN adopts 8 resolutions condemning Jewish states. So you have a United Nations watchdog has criticized the organization for passing multiple resolutions this week condemning Israel for various alleged human rights violations, but making no condemnation of Hamas or other groups or nations at a time when anti-Semitism is on the rise. The UN's assault on Israel, with a torrent of one-sided resolutions, just 1 month after the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust and on the 85th anniversary of the Kristallnacht, is surreal. And then you say that executive director of UN Watch, said in the press release, the only purpose of these 8 lopsided condemnations is to demonize the Jewish state. Nell said, the world should not be deceived that these annual resolutions advance the cause of peace or human rights in any way. The UN Second Committee, which focuses on economic and financial issues, announced the passage of 3 such resolutions, including one demanding that Israel cease the exploitation, damage, cause of loss or depletion and endangerment in the Golan Heights region of Syria. Syria drafted and co-sponsored the resolutions, which passed with a vote of 151 in favor to 6 against. Only Canada, Israel, and federal states of Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, and the U.S. opposed the measure, and 11 members abstained from voting. Their hatred for Israel doesn't end. If you look at the foreign news this week, you've seen today there's massive protest in London. And, today is supposed to be a day of honor for the veterans, 11th November. But it's been hijacked by the pro-Palestinian protests in New York and some places, and then but London's one is quite huge. I mean, it's such a serious thing now. One news item this week that shocked me, when some journalists interviewed some of the young protesters, the pro-Palestinian students, young guys, you know, ladies and all, and it was amazing when some of them said they don't even know what Hamas is. They've not even seen the video or seen the attacks on Israel. One lady asked, did it really happen? And also, you just ask her, so why are you protesting? Why are you anti-Israel protesting when you don't even know what you are protesting against? Because, you see, you are anti-Israel protesting, so you say pro-Palestine, then I mean, saying all the things. But then, you don't even know the details. The Hamas group itself, you don't even know who they are. You've not seen the video of what they did. You see, so this is how people are being manipulated by the media. So the youth, you know, very unfortunate, but some call them snowflakes. You know, they just move by the wind. Anything, they just, the social media and the media just organizes them in deceptive ways. Then just protesting the hatred for Jews, for Israel. U.S., the universities, a lot of attacks on, you know, the Jews, the anti-Semitism is at its highest in various ways. But you see, in as much as some of the things Israel is doing now causes racist issues, because now the U.S. government is not happy with Israel because of the way they've done the attacks. Macron, France president, is also now complaining that it's time for ceasefire. And looks like Netanyahu is standing his ground that there won't be. So this is where the lines are being drawn, where it will not be long. Israel will be stand alone, because their country partners, their friends would now get angry and they will just back off, because it will not be long. Israel will be alone, because U.S. is, the president has made statements that shows he's getting frustrated. The Secretary of State this week, for the first time, also made, all this while he's been okay, he's not really condemned the attacks in Gaza, but now the way the thing is going with the hospital attacks and, you know, children, the more children dying and all that, so the world is becoming frustrated and agitated, getting tired of this whole thing. So the heat is really on, that Israel should pause, ceasefire and all that. But since they insist they will not, then eventually the anger of the rest of the world will turn against them. CNN had an article this week, that more of a classified information of the various ambassadors in the Arab world to the U.S. government, the president, that they have to be careful of what is happening now. They are opening support. The way they've supported the Israeli government so far is causing a lot of disaffection, I mean, to the U.S. in these Arab countries. So they were warning the U.S. government to be careful. You know, so some of these things, eventually the government would then be, well, we can't sabotage our relationship with other countries and our citizens being exposed, and just because we are supporting you. So it's quite a delicate balance, but, you know, because prophecy has to be fulfilled, some things would definitely happen. And looks like, you know, the actions that Israel is taking is definitely pushing them to the point of being isolated. And that is when the only hope for them, a time will come, the only hope will be God, because, like, they will not have the support of the U.S. They will not have the support of NATO, like the EU countries backing them up, like supporting them morally and all that, like they've done so far. You see, and these are the times we are living in. So, very interesting indeed. You know, there's this aspect of the news. Okay, I won't call it news because it's old information, but I've, a lot of it, I read it years back and earlier this year and all that. But due to the way this whole discussions we've had the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks regarding this war, and then the way we are seeing things in Ghana, per the, you know, the presidential primaries in MPP and the aftermath, the talking the religious aspect, Christian Council, and all the statements and all the things coming up and all that. We'll be talking a bit about it from the Christian point of view, and I'll be delving into the issue of apologetics for we, the listeners and Christians, we listening. Apologetics means like being able to defend your faith, understanding your faith, what you believe in. Because you see, in the midst of the discussions I see and hear around, you can see clearly that Christians have to understand what they believe in. Because in as much as it's a political season that we've entered and all that, there's one thing that is going to be obvious in this year's campaign. We are going to see a lot of church, Islam issue topics coming up and all that. We are going to see this discussion, and some will be definitely twisted to the point that we serve the same God and all that. I mean, we'll be hearing these things. We'll be hearing things based on whatever reasons, whether financial inducement or political affiliations, whatever. So we'll be hearing things, but you see, it's important we understand things the right way, so that when you hear things and see things, you are not deceived. Because, you know, there's one thing we can by all means see. We'll be seeing it. There will be a lot of movement into church. I mean, the vice president will be going to churches more than even a catechist. From now to election, he'll be doing it. So, but we Christians should understand what we know and what we believe in, so that when you hear alternative things by people who seek to deceive you as to serve the same God and all these things, you know what you believe in. You know what your faith is, so that you are not swayed by things and all that. So that's the important. We'll be talking about it. I mean, it's not something I'll just start that discussion tonight, but we'll continue subsequently. It's important we know our faith, so that you see, because we are going to have a lot of these discussions, offices, you know, people will be debating online, social media, office, schools, and all. So Christians should have the understanding to be able to defend what they believe in. Because you see, it's one of the painful things is when a Christian is caught in a situation where you know you are right, but you don't know what to say to defend yourself. And it's like, you are wrong. Like, but you can't defend yourself. So everybody assumes you are wrong. And indeed, because you don't have the knowledge and the wisdom and the ability to defend yourself, eventually it's like you've lost. But you see, that shouldn't be the case. We should be able to defend our faith. And that's why it's important we talk about some of these things, because the season we are in requires that we know what we believe in. Yes, because these debates will come up. I mean, we can't pretend. It's going to come up in offices. The people will be debating. We serve the same God, we don't serve the same God, and all that. So it's important we look at it from the biblical point of view. Exactly what does the Bible say? And your faith. Why do you believe what you believe in? And why do you stand by what you believe in? You should be able to defend it as a Christian. You should be able to. All right. So this is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. And we'll be playing this music. And I'll come back soon.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You unravel me.
Beautiful song, Zach Williams. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Wow, wow, wow. You know, there's this 10 strategies to attack Christianity by Alice Bailey, or former Alice Mason. And I've shared this some years back on this program. Number 9 is a 10-point agenda. Virtually, we are seeing all flowing, all the things happening at various levels. But number 9 is what I'm just reading. Create an interfaith movement. Alice Bailey wrote, promote other faiths to be at par with Christianity and break this thing about Christianity as being the only way to heaven. By that, Christianity will be pulled down and other faiths promoted. She said, promote the importance of man in determining his own future and destiny, humanism. And she said, tell man he has the right to choose what he wants to be and he can make it happen. He has the right to determine his course. This takes God off his throne. We have seen in our nation, South Africa, hosting a meeting of the interfaith movement in Cape Town. This was some years back by the Dalai Lama. But then you go on. We have, let me just read, this is from 2013. Ban Ki-moon, then the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon applauds Pope Benedict's commitment to interfaith dialogue. This was 2013, 11th February. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon lauded the commitment of Pope Benedict the 16th to interfaith dialogue and the promotion of peace in reaction to the Pope, the Pontiff's decision to step down at the end of the month. This was 2013. Then in that one, cry, when was the year? There was this signing by the Pope. Okay, I think I missed that one. Okay, but let me read this one. This is just this year, in February. United Arab Emirates opens Interfaith Center as symbol of tolerance. So on the shores of the Persian Gulf, a new complex houses a church, Jewish synagogue, and an Islamic mosque in the capital of UAE. The Abrahamic Faith House offers a concrete, marble, and oak manifestation of the UAE's publicized push towards tolerance after Pope Francis in 2019 and later diplomatically recognizing Israel in 2020. Then worshippers have already prayed and communed at the sites at Abu Dhabi's Saadiyat Island, whilst the general public will be allowed later in the month. So that 2019, there was this declaration of human fraternity for world peace and living together, co-authored by His Holiness Pope Francis and His Eminence the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar Sheikh Ahmed El Tayeb. It's a model of interfaith, keyword, interfaith harmony and human solidarity. Let us all take inspiration and renew our commitment to stand together as one human family. And this is a statement by the United, United Nations Secretary General. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. So now the UN has a World Interfaith Harmony Week. This is in February. So the World Interfaith Harmony Week is an annual event observed during the first week of February after General Assembly designation in 2010. The annual assembly, General Assembly, pointed out that mutual understanding and interreligious dialogue constitute important dimensions of a culture of peace and established World Interfaith Harmony Week as a way to promote harmony between all people regardless of their faith. Recognizing the imperative need for dialogue among different faiths and religions to enhance mutual understanding, harmony, and cooperation among the people, the General Assembly. Okay, I think I made a mistake somewhere. Okay, the General Assembly encourages all states to spread the message of interfaith harmony and goodwill in the world's churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, and other places of worship during the week or that week on a voluntary basis and according to their own religious traditions and convictions. So, I mean, this is just a few of the old news where you have the interfaith, the UN, the Pope, then the events that they did in the UAE where they have the Abrahamic House, Faith House. So the three, Christian, Jews, Islam, having their own, all their buildings. It was designed by the Ghanaian architect, Sey Ajayi. And see, interfaith. The issue is, what is this interfaith thing? And see, and you look at it, and there's a key word, coexistence, living together. We serve the same God and all. You see, so the ultimate thing is the one world religion being pushed in a very subtle way, even at the highest level of the UN. So even now, there's a week that the UN celebrates, you know. A lot of the end time things will not happen suddenly. It's more of a gradual, and then it increases in intensity and then in duration and all that. You see, so a lot of things will start off as normal, harmless, but the end point becomes a prophecy being fulfilled. But there are some that is so obvious when it starts, you can see that this is where the thing is headed. This is one of such things, this interfaith thing. You know, this hasn't existed years back in the 1980s. I mean, it wasn't really an issue. Nobody was it wasn't discussed at the UN. There was no day or week being celebrated at the UN. But then a time came that now the talk of interfaith started coming up. And you've had the previous pope and then the current pope all being advocates and pushing the interfaith thing seriously. But then you see, the underlying key thing is the God factor. It's just like there was one instance the Pope said that all roots, we all various, it doesn't matter the religion, we all get to the same God. He said it in various ways. But you see, ultimately, the key thing is we all serve the same God. So we can coexist without any issues and all that. And so this is the foundation of the discussion or my talk this evening as to the reason why it's important we understand what we understand as Christians. You know, it's becoming critical because these are the times when you must know who you believe in and why you believe in what you believe in. Yes, it's so important. What does the Bible say? Let's get into the word of God. See, so Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. So it becomes difficult for us as Christians to accept that there are other ways to the same God. And this is the reason why, of all the religions, Christianity becomes the only one that is odd in the equation. Because, you alone say that your God is the correct one. All others are wrong. And then, you see, so then now it becomes a challenge. Or it's like they feel you are challenging, you are condemning, you are judging, you are whatever you can put it. So the reason why this comes up, John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the God that we believe in, it is through Jesus that we go to the God. So that is our belief, and that is what we stand for, and we stand by, and that is the basis of our faith through Jesus Christ. So because of what we believe in, this is why the world will hate Christians. The hatred for Christians will be stemmed on this fact that we alone, we say our God has to be approached only through Jesus' Son. But the others say that he has no son. The others don't believe he has a son. So then, we become the odd ones out of the whole lot. And the world will fight Christians because of what we believe in. This belief, this fact, this statement, is the basis for this whole thing. Why there's the interfaith movement came about. It's because of Christians why this interfaith thing has been set up in the first place. It's because of us, because of Christians. So, and you see, because we cannot also fit into the interfaith thing, because it's at variance with what the reality is. So, really speaking, a true Bible-believing, spirit-filled Christian cannot fit and accept the interfaith agenda. That's a fact. See, so because of this, you realize that eventually, the persecution of Christians will be stemmed on, you people, you are the troublemakers in the world. You are the problem makers. You alone, you don't want to bring peace in the world. You are against peace in the world. You are this, you are that. So the world will hate Christians because of what we believe and why we believe what we believe in. See, so when we have this understanding that this is where the interfaith movement is headed. Mind you, what I read is now at the UN level, at the high level of the UN, United Nations. So now, if it's at that level, at the world level like that, at the UN, a time will come resolutions can be passed easily. That effective this time, every faith must believe, must subscribe to this. See, and whatever they will bring and say, it will always be at variance with what the true Christian stands by. You see, so these are the things that they will be bringing and saying that would eventually be alienating Christians and making us the old ones in the world. So these are the foundations that they are laying, or they've laid already, and we are still progressing along that line. You see, so when you hear interfaith, 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 don't be deceived. No, no, no. It doesn't matter the pastor, whether you respect the pastor, how high you revere them or whatever. When the issue is about interfaith and you see them embracing it, run for your life. I repeat, it doesn't matter how well you revere the pastor or the bishop or the whoever, so far as their actions and their statements align with the interfaith agenda, run for your life. Because you see, the foundation of the interfaith thing is not what the world will tell you or what the UN will describe for you or what the Pope is pushing. That definition, that what they are pushing as their interfaith, has an ulterior motive. Ultimately, to the peace of this world, the peace of this world, the peace of this world. You see, so we know where this is moving towards. So as Christians, we should not be ignorant about some of these things. See, so when you see pastors embracing the agenda of this interfaith thing, coexistence, interfaith coexistence, interfaith coexistence, we serve the same God. We are all the children of God. Oh yes, nobody, no, we are not saying we are not the children. Everybody's, yes, we are the children of God. But there's a difference. But you see, they don't want to accept that there's a difference. We are all the same. So at the UN level, that is what they are saying. It doesn't matter your religion. It doesn't matter. We are all serving the same God. And that is the difference. And you see, because you and I, you listening and me here, we know that all religions are not serving the same God, then it becomes a problem for the Christians. Because everybody is saying A, you alone is A, B. And since already Christians are already always the targeted ones, then it's like, we said it. These people are the troublemakers. They just cannot fit in. These people, now let's hunt them down. Let's ban their Bibles. Let's criminalize the whole worship of Christ, God. Let's make it a crime to be a Christian, to be called a Christian, to openly affirm your faith as a Christian, to hold a Bible, to go to church. Let's criminalize it. Eventually, this is where the world is headed. Oh, yes. And to my Christian brothers and sisters who think we would not see these things, please review your notes. We'll be seeing these things. We would be seeing these things if Christ tarries. We'll be seeing these things. Or if God gives us life, we'll be seeing these things. You know, the world is set in a slow motion towards the fulfillment of a lot of things in the Bible. Some may seem far-fetched. Sometimes you think, how can it really fit into what is happening in the world? But eventually, we are getting there. There are some things, sometimes I get messages from listeners who send me a message, Brother Ben, hey, you said this many years ago, and it's happening just as you said it. You said this, and you know, sometimes there are some things I've even said, listeners will send it and remind me, and I have even forgotten. But then it's like, I get reminded, well, you see, the truth will always stand. The word of God, which is truth, it will always stand. That's how it is. You see, so this is the reason why I want to talk about the fact that we should know what we believe in, so that you are not swayed or deceived by the perceived or the perception that, oh, everybody is accepting it. You see, the reason why it's important you have your own understanding and not what you'll be told afterwards by the leaders is that, see, when the leaders get compromised, they will be singing the same tune of the interfaith thing. So their mission then will be to align their followers to also be in line with what they have been compromised to believe in and accept. So it doesn't matter. That's why I keep saying it doesn't matter who the person is, the leader is. If you see they are not following what is biblically aligned and the correct way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you see they are not following that way, please turn back and save yourself. Because for sure, we are going to see in this world, we'll be seeing some compromised who would align with the agenda, and you may be tempted to think, oh, then they are right, so let me also believe what they are saying. But no, the Bible should be your basis for believing whatever you believe in. So it shouldn't be because, oh, your bishop is now saying this, so he must be right. No, it should be, what does the Bible say? If the Bible says contrary, is contrary to what your church or your bishop is prescribing or whatever, then you should know that, no, human beings can be compromised. So when you see these signs that they are aligning to the interfaith thing, then you know how to advise yourself. That's why you don't just have to be a wishy-washy Christian who just believes anything you see, anything you are told. It should be based on what does the word of God say. You know, if you read, I think 1 Peter 3:15, I think. Let me just read it. 1 Peter 3:15, puts it this way. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let me just quickly read the NLT. What I read was the King James, and NLT give us another angle to it. NLT says, okay, NLT, 1 Peter 3:15. All right, I got it. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain it. Because if you say you are believing in Christ, you should be able to defend why you believe in Christ and why you believe he is the only way to God. People ask, so why is it the only way? What makes him special? Why is he the only one? You should be able to defend it. You should be able to explain it. This is what Peter is enjoining us or admonishing us. You see, so this evening's discussion is more of the foundation, the reason why we should get this understanding. Because of the interfaith agenda at the global level, and it's clearly going to show up at the national level here. We are going to see it. Oh yeah, I mean, because you see, when you see some of the news items, then, you know, I said this some time back. I saw a video of, you know, some pastors and the expression on their faces when the vice president was reading a Bible scripture, and the way they were excited. And I looked at them and it's like, I was just laughing. I said to people, you know, how, I mean, anyone can read the Bible. Anyone can read the Bible. So what is so special when he reads the Bible? But you see, this is the reason why, you see, people can be swayed so easily. Oh, yes. People can be swayed so easily. So, but you see, when you understand this interfaith agenda, you will not be swayed when you see some things unfolding and you start hearing some statements from some places and from some people you would least expect. You see, then, so you see, you realize that the whole interfaith thing, you realize it's unfolding in various ways. But when you have your grounding and you have the understanding of the times, the things that unfold will not amaze you. It will not shock you. And you will be wiser to discern the times and to know what is unfolding and what is happening. That's why it's good to be knowledgeable in the Word. That's why it's good to know what the Word says. So, understanding is the key thing in our times. Knowledge is so paramount in our time. Knowledge in the Word is so important. So, so, so important. I keep saying, Jesus spoke of all the end time things Jesus spoke in Matthew 24. The one he repeated at least 3 times is deception. That should tell us how massive the deception is going to be in these times. Oh, yes. You see, it's so important that he repeated it 24-4, 24-11, 24-24. For him to repeat it 3 times. Earthquake, he said, he just said it once, famine once, pestilence once. But for deception, he said it 3 times in Matthew 24. That shows that deception is going to be the bedrock of the end times. And indeed, that's what is going to happen. This interfaith thing is based on deception. To deceive the gullible Christians that, oh, you know, amend your strong stance that Jesus is the only way and move to the left a bit. And let's all agree that we all serve the same God, whether you pass left or right. You can pass through north or south. We are all getting to the same destination. That is the stance of the interfaith movement being pushed at the highest level, the UN. So the stream, they will see you and I as a stream because we don't want to amend our ways. We still want to insist and stand by what we believe, that Jesus is the only way. You see, so this is, it's so important we understand these things so that the deception that is coming will not be surprised. So you see it, you see others falling for it, but then you will be able to guard your heart because self-preservation in the Word of God is what we will need in these times. Oh yes, self-preservation in the Word of God should be what is going to preserve us in our faith so that the deception that will come, you would escape it. Because for the deception, it's going to come. The deception is going to come. One that Jesus talks of in 24:11 is one of the serious ones because, see, let me just quickly, 24:11, Matthew 24:11, where it says, okay, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Look at the key words. Many, let's put it this way, many men of God will arise and shall deceive many followers. Many. So many deceiving many. That's a serious thing. In other words, it's the few who will be able to understand and avoid this deception by church leaders. That's very serious and significant. You take note of it. The deception will be coming from leaders. The deception that Jesus warns of in Matthew 24:11. Falsehood. False prophets, false leaders. And what is false? False is the opposite of truth. So, you see, let's not see this false as, oh, pastors who have gone to occult or something, or pastors who are using juju. No. Falsehood in this case is anyone who is not bearing the truth. Anyone who is not bearing the truth is bearing the false information. So this falsehood definition is a very wide range, because so far as the person is not saying the truth, the standard word of God, the truth, which is the word of God, he is twisting it, he is turning it around to deceive and all that. That person falls into this category of false prophets or false pastors or whatever it will be. You see, so that's why the deception will be grand. Because the word of God will virtually be put aside, and the doctrines prescribed by the system is what will be dominating. And once you put the word of God aside, it's falsehood. So as many as are going to be moving by the falsehood of the global system, the globalist agenda, they are going to have their followers deceived, as many as also follow and believe them. So that's how serious it is with this end time deception. We just can't play around with it and be casual about it. The deception will come from the top. It will come from the leaders. Of course, not every leader is good. The fact that is many means there will be few who will be correct. So let's look out for the few. If we have them, let's stay with them prayerfully and still in the wisdom of God. Because someone can be saying the truth today and tomorrow he's saying the false. Oh, yes. When it comes to deception, you don't have 100% allegiance, that no matter what, 100%. No. It should always be tested. Test the spirits. You should always test. So you don't have like permanent agreement that as for this pastor, till we get to heaven. Oh, yes, ideally, it would have been good if it was so. But for the sake of not being deceived, it's always important to do it case by case basis. You keep testing. You keep assessing. You keep verifying what he's saying with the word of God. You keep praying so that you are always on guard. So that in case this person also misses it, you can avoid being deceived. That's how we should see the times we are in. That's how we should see the times we are in. So when we get this basis that the deception can come from any quarters, at leadership level, can come from any quarters, at the global level, it can come. You see, so you just know that Jesus says deception will come. Many are going to be deceived. So that means you just ask some Nigerians to say, shine your eyes. You are just aware. You are aware of the time. So you are just careful not to fall into the trap. Because you see, when someone is alert and careful and watchful, in that case, it becomes difficult for the person to be deceived unless he loses his guard. But the one who is really standing his ground, well grounded in the word and the spirit and all that, that person will stand the times. So many, you see, these are some of the prophecies that is very worrying, because if the Bible says many, who am I to say it will not be many? It's a done deal. I mean, these are prophecies you cannot change. So if Jesus says many will be deceived, it means the least you can do is to avoid being part of the many. But you cannot pray to stop it. The least you can do is to avoid being part of the many. And that's why we are talking about these things on this program, so that we avoid being part of the many to be deceived. Already many are being deceived, and many are yet to be deceived. So that at least we avoid being deceived at any point in time, because we are well informed of the season we are in. So when we see some signs, we just know that this is where it's headed. So you are watchful and careful. I believe you've gotten the basis, the foundation of the reason why we should understand the times, the reason why we should be able to defend our faith. So God willing, next week we'll be continuing. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life, and greetings to listeners, various places. And I believe next week we'll be continuing. You can listen to this recording on the website, spiritissues.info. You can get the recording. Also the Telegram group, Spirit Issues, you also get it there. Good night, and God bless you. And I think, think someone sent a message. Let me quickly. I still have 2 minutes or something. Let me see. I can read one message or two messages. Okay. All right. Okay. You must say, global ecumenism is what some top theologians have been planning to achieve all this while. Then salvation universalism is a theological position that all will be saved at the end. It also asserts that all religions and faith leads to God. Yeah, these are the grand deceptions that, you know, packaged for the world. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, Ma Alice says that good evening, please. Okay. Okay, he said, please, failure to read and study the Bible by any Christian is what the person is also deceiving. Is that person is also deceiving himself or herself? Then it's easy for false teachers to deceive him or her. Every Christian must study the Bible. And that's Ma Alice. Indeed, that's the facts. The whole thing, the Bible, is the foundation. So good night and God bless you.